Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Good evening, everyone. It is Coco Express Show. However, today we have our Real Estate Straight Talk segment with Sharon Homer and Joe Bilardo. However, before we begin the segment, I would like for you to understand that all the topics and subject matters discussed in this particular segment are for information purposes, and if you desire to get more details, please contact our real estate professionals or seek out information from your attorney or an accountant. And let's move on over to jumping into our subject matter with none other than Sharon Homer and Joe Bilardo.
Welcome to Real Estate Straight Talk with industry professional Sharon Homer.
Yeah.
Breaking it down and giving you the inside track on the real estate front so that you too can achieve the new American dream.
Good evening. How are you guys today?
Well, Aurelia, how good. Are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good. And I'm ready to really dive on into this because during our last segment, we covered so much stuff and it was a wealth of information that was provided. And I wanted to thank you guys because I was kind of sitting there going, wow, this is a lot of information to absorb. So I want us to kind of like backpedal a little bit and go over some of the things that we discussed in the last segment so we can bring new listeners up to speed.
Okay. Well, pretty much in the last segment, we covered and discussed the American dream, whether it was up in smoke or what our opinions were on that. And we just pretty much covered how what are some of the benefits within today's market. And today we look forward to discussing more in detail how you can invest using those options that were discussed in the last segment. Joe, anything you want to add?
Yeah, you know, we touched on owner financing, rent to own, and just alternate ways that people can get into real estate, either selling or buying, even in this market. You know, a lot of people, when they hear real estate right now, they're afraid. They're afraid to sell. They're afraid to buy because of the way the economy is and some of the uncertainties. But you know, if you use your creativity, you can thrive. You know, even in this economy.
Okay, now, with that in mind, we discussed the owner financing and rent-to-own, and then we had the other scenario where we had the retiree who wanted to move to the Caribbean. And today, we're going to really, really dive into the nuts and bolts of owner financing. So, So you guys, I mean, you dive in and start, you know, putting it out there, and I'll ask questions as they come up because there are some things that I'm not completely well-versed on in regards to this particular subject.
Okay. Well, so you want to start or you want me to start?
I can start. Traditionally, when someone is selling a house, you know, because the price is, real estate values are so high, it's to where, you know, you couldn't just pay for it out of pocket, so to speak. So what people do is they use a bank or some kind of a lender financial institution to finance that sale. Owner financing is the person or entity owning the particular piece of real estate financing it themselves. In other words, they're taking on that role out of the bank, or, you know, and the bank is basically an investor in the transaction. And Sharon, earlier we were talking, and you said it, you know, the bank is pretty much doing the buying. They're paying for it. And you, as the consumer, are basically paying back the bank with interest.
So, and Joe was right. We were speaking earlier, and what, and you know, why we're so passionate about owner financing is not to take the attention off of the option of having a mortgage, but we want to expand, you know, give offer options of people, of the consumer positioning themselves in the same place as the bank. And by doing that is with seller financing. And there's so many pros in doing that. You know, even on the opposite end of the overall economy, going back to our last segment in American Dream Up in Smoke, which is, you know, not necessarily the concept Joe and I have on today's economy. However, the economy wouldn't be in the situation it is in now if there was some stabilization across the board. And owner financing is an option that offers people the option to bring some, to help stabilize this economy. What, I mean, one reason is because if you're in position to own and not have that type of debt when owning real estate, then, you know, the seller is in position to kind of be a little bit more lenient to a buyer in purchasing that home. And let me just kind of go back to kind of what Joe was saying as far as owner financing, which is simply just having the deed to real property. It's not really having the note, the mortgage note. It's really you not no longer owing the mortgage company anything. It's pretty much you holding that note and being able to do whatever you want legally with that property for another potential consumer to own or rent that property. And when you have someone in your property that is, say, buying it from you while you hold the deed, then you're not owing the mortgage company anything. You are simply positioning yourself to be that lien holder or that bank for that buyer, which is allowing a buyer the opportunity to, you know, maybe save a little bit more, become a little bit more educated and know how credit works and how to regain, because it's not like you as the seller is in a rock between a hard place trying to pay back a mortgage depending on your say tenant, you know, if you're holding a mortgage at the time. So we really want to position people to become investors and to reinvest in themselves. So, and from a buyer aspect, doing that is very beneficial. And, you know, we want to eventually get the buyer to have more options as a buyer. It can be, as Joe stated in the last segment, you know, you may have a seller more lenient to have a 15-year mortgage, or just more negotiations with the monthly, you know, how you're paying your mortgage. You know, you're not going to be stuck to a 30-year fixed or ARM or adjustable rate mortgage like as you would a bank, when you may have a seller that may be willing to educate you and assist you with your monthly mortgage payment.
I have a question. Okay, what you're saying basically is that me, the individual, can go out and I can come up with enough money to buy my house. And I own the house totally. I own it. Nobody else has anything to say about anything on this particular house. And what I can do, as opposed to me, I wanna either rent it out or I wanna sell it again. Not flip it, but just sell it outright. I can do that, and I can also do it in a way just like the bank would do it, and I could, like, attach, like, some interest to whatever it is that I want to sell the house to somebody for, so they don't have to pay me $60,000 up front in one lump sum. They can pay me monthly a certain amount of money, and I will still own the house until they finish paying me all that money.
Owner finance, yes, that is correct, because owner financing does not change the way a real estate transaction works. You still have to go to settlement. You still have to do all of the necessary steps in order to purchase that home. The only difference is that you do not get your mortgage through the bank. Your seller is not only just a seller. Your seller is also willing to hold the notes for you as a buyer. It does not change any legalities of a typical real estate transaction. And you can flip a house and still do owner financing, or you have some owners in any market that have owned their home for 30, 40 plus more years, and they want to sell their home. But in this economy, you know, they're led to believe that, oh, you know, this is not a great market to sell, which is not real. It's not the best market to sell. However, if you have your deed to the property, you do have a lot more leverage, because you have a lot more opportunity to offer a buyer. You have a lot more to offer them, a buyer, than a seller across the street who is under the water with a mortgage company, which is why they're selling their home, because they can't afford to keep their home. So,
yeah. And I think a simple way to put it is, you know, a difference between the banks and big corporations, which are billion-dollar entities, and the average person who's struggling, is the banks understand finance and money and how it works. The average person struggling, we're impatient and we get greedy. So when in the scenario that you just posed, you own your house and person A comes to buy it, we just want the money. We want the cash as fast as we can get it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're selling the house for $60,000. You're like, I want my $60,000 today. I want to walk out of here with $60,000. But in doing that, in wanting to get the money today, first of all, you don't actually get it, because, you know, that money gets taxed. There's all kinds
mm-hmm.
of stuff. So you actually
mm-hmm.
don't even get the $60,000.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, what you don't realize is the bank is making $120,000.
Mm-hmm.
By them stepping in and financing that transaction, because that buyer is paying them over a 30-year period.
That's right.
With interest and everything else. Whereas if you put yourself in the same position that the bank is doing, that you selling your house for $60,000, as you noted, you can add the interest and everything on too.
That's right.
That $60,000 sale is worth a lot more to you than
that's
the $60,000.
Right. That's right.
And that's where what Sharon was saying comes into play, because, you know, the banks are very strict and rigid in their rules.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you're making $100,000 on a $60,000 sale, she's saying you can be a lot more flexible in what you take from the buyer, whatever. You're making your money and then some either way.
Mm-hmm.
And the same rules apply to the transaction. If the
mm-hmm.
person buying doesn't pay you, you can still
mm-hmm.
foreclose on them,
mm-hmm.
or a.k.a. evict them. So, you know, a lot of people who own real estate, again, because they're short-sighted and because they're greedy, or because they don't understand finance and they're impatient, they want money
mm-hmm.
today, they don't realize, you know, all that they're giving away to someone else.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Someone who can just step in and say, okay, you want $60,000 here, I'll cut you the check. And they're making double what you're getting.
Okay. I think I see the light coming through the window right now. Now, what you're basically saying is, and, you know, it's just, I'm reiterating, but I'm going to use our little imaginary people again.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Now, Lisa is somebody who is really smart and savvy, but she's not like, she just knows a good thing when she sees it and when she hears it. So she met Sharon, and she overheard Sharon talking about, you know, like you can own a home and you can cut out the middleman and you can make a lot of money. So all she's hearing is own a home, make a lot of money. Okay. So she goes, okay, fine, I'm gonna try this. So she says, Sharon, find me a house, you know, not so, you know, that may need some work on it or something like that, and we're gonna see how this works. So Sharon finds Lisa a house, and Lisa buys the house. So Lisa has to buy the house like a regular real estate transaction so that she can own it. And let's just say the house is only $10,000. Lisa buys this house for $10,000, and she decides that she wants to sell the house. And so Sharon says, I'm going to sell the house for $35,000. And Sharon goes, okay, that's good. That's being that you paid this much for it, sell it for $35,000. She goes, but you think I can find somebody who can give it to me for $35,000 right now with cash in hand? And what Sharon is saying, no, I'm going to sit you down with me and one of my really good colleagues, Joe, and we're gonna educate you. Okay, Sharon and Joe educates Lisa. So they tell Lisa, no, don't go and try to look for $35,000 outright. That's not wise. What you need to do is you need to become the banker. So what you're going to do is you're going to sell your house to somebody just like the bank would sell the house to you. And what you're going to do is you're going to stipulate the terms to which you want the person who's buying the house from you to pay you back the money for the house that they want to buy. And you're going to stipulate everything, every possible scenario, to the point where if they don't pay, you got to go. And you can tack on a little bit of interest, I guess, for your time and effort is what you kind of like putting out there for Lisa.
Every situation is different. And what Joe and I like to do is that one, educate, because every situation is different. And no situation is the same, especially when talking about real estate. What we try to push are options. And when meeting with a client, especially via the seller, if Lisa is a seller, say of purchases a property for $10,000, wants to sell it for $35,000. Some properties you are going to have to let go for cash, because some people don't want to hold on to that. Now, if an investor, that will be a good option for an upcoming investor, someone who wanted to start investing, because there's only a certain amount that you can get a mortgage for technically. But that would be a really good option for, say, a new investor who wanted to own an investment property but didn't know how, and Lisa was in position. See, that's a perfect. That's what I was talking about earlier. As far as another good thing, another good reason that seller financing is valuable is because it helps stabilize the crippled economy that we're in. Because Lisa is in position to help someone become an investor. But otherwise, if you have a regular buyer at $35,000, it's more than likely someone will have cash and want to throw cash. I mean, we're going to have to talk and be like, okay, well, this is the value, fair market value of the home, and, you know, you can sell the house for cash, or, you know, if a situation of someone wanting to own an investment property, she can pose that to someone and say, you know, I'll hold a note for you so that this home is affordable, we can make it affordable, you can pay me X amount of dollars. And as far as tacking on interest, it's not for the giggles or anything like that. It's just, the banks do it because they can do it because it's legal to do it. Now, usury laws and different things like that, you still have to stay within. I mean, you can't do any more than a bank can do owner financing. Again, this still entails a lawyer, realtors and different things like that, because you need to make sure this thing is right and in order. And if you do it right, then this can become an actual first source of income for you, or business for you, or even if you want to keep it as a secondary source of income. But we try to really give you the options in it, and every situation is different. Joe, what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think the scenario, in that scenario, it can work. And like you said, Sharon, you know, every case is different, so we're not saying per se that every time it would go exactly like that, but I think that's in that's an example that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, essentially that's, you know, how seller financing can work. And it, it works for both people. You know, as Sharon just pointed out, the banks have a lot of rules and restrictions, even on dollar amounts that they're willing to finance. So, again, you as the buyer who or the original buyer who buys that house for $10,000, you can sell it for $35,000 or $45,000 or an amount that banks wouldn't even want to get involved in it, but still you can still make that profit. And if you're willing to finance it, as Sharon was saying, it could be a cash deal, but say someone doesn't have, you know, $35,000 in cash, then you can, that is an option. You can finance it to that person. And that person, also, as you said, Sharon, that person could also be an investor, and they could be getting it to rent out to someone else. So it could be their rental property, and they could use the rent money to pay you. So
correct.
There's no box to put it in. You know, as creative as everyone is all of the above involved can be.
Correct.
You know, and you know, the person, the seller, can use the money that's coming in from that buyer and get their next $10,000 house. You know,
that is correct.
It's just exponential. You know, the possibilities are endless in what you can
do. You know, and really, like you stated, with your scenario, down payments and all of that stuff still applies. The transaction does not change. It's just a matter of giving yourself the options of how you purchase the property involved in the transaction. That's simply what it is.
So it's it's like buying a house on layaway.
which if you want to look at it like that, you already do, because if you were traditionally buying using a mortgage company, again, you're not going to show up to the settlement table with a briefcase full of money and you know, buy your house. So it, essentially, almost every house that's bought
is
on layaway.
Yeah,
or on credit.
You're
so
correct,
in a way, yes.
Yeah, because technically the asset is not yours. The asset is the bank.
Mm-hmm.
the asset isn't yours until you have that deed signed, and then you have paid your debt.
Right.
It's great to own, and we're not knocking again. Going and getting mortgages. What we like to, again, educate and give yourself options, but we are really big on investing, investing within your budget. And there are just so many options in how to do that and how to do that in real estate. I mean, the options are not limited, as you hear every day in news, radio and TV. It's not like Joe just said, it's not the box. It is so many opportunities available to you, even along this topic alone of owner financing. Like Joe just said, you know, there are so many different options. There's options to you as the buyer, and there are options to you as the seller.
Now, let's say another scenario would be the lady soccer club decided that they wanted to get involved in real estate, and they don't have a lot of money individually, but collectively they can pull together enough money to be able to buy one or two properties together. And they want to be able to provide affordable housing for some people in their community. Now, they can also do the owner financing for this as well?
Right. And we did kind of touch on that in the last show, in that, you know, people can form investment groups. And, you know, with the economy being the way it is, there are so many properties that are for sale at such a low price to where it is obtainable. You know, like we use $10,000, that's actually a real number. You really can get houses for 10. We've seen them for even less than 10 right now.
We have them for
so,
that.
Right, yeah. So, you know, not even that long ago, that would have been unimaginable. I mean, you know, not that long ago, even a shell property with no windows and doors on it might have been $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the most rundown property was maybe $60,000 or $70,000.
Yeah.
You know, in one of the worst quote unquote neighborhoods. But now you can get a, you know, those soccer moms, you know, maybe they can do a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a bake sale, a car wash, or whatever, make platters, and actually make enough money to purchase a house outright from the bank. You know, just pay them in cash, and then, as you said, you know, finance it back to someone, even one of the members within their group. And if they could keep paying it forward and keep fundraising, and before you know it, every person in that organization can have their own house. You know, so, I mean, again, as you can be as creative as you want to be. And one thing Sharon and I like to do is sit people down and find out what do they want to do, what are they able to, you know, and you're able to do pretty much whatever you want, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of sitting down and solving the problem. Well, how do we make this happen?
Yeah, and Joe said it best earlier. He and I were speaking, and he mentioned that, you know, people need to start looking within and stop, you know, looking for a handout. You know, some, like he said, he mentioned fundraising is a great opportunity to reinvest into yourself. Also, you need to look at, you know, we always go back to budget, and it may sound cliche, but you have to have a budget. You have to know your budget, and you have to stay within your budget. You have to know how much you're making, where are you applying those funds. You know, some people have many different sources of investment, be it in CDs or stock market or 401ks, whatever it may be. And again, I'm not saying not to do that, but you look at where you're investing your money and what type of return it's giving you, and look at where you can find those funds in order to invest in real estate or reinvest in and get the bang for your buck. You know, this is definitely a buyer's market, and you know, you buy low and you buy smart. You know your options, and you work within your options. There are a lot of options available, and again, as Joe and I said earlier, we're not going against having a mortgage, because there's so much education that comes along with this that it's unreal. You know, we talked about earlier, even if you had a property for, if you wanted to attain a property for $100,000, say, and you don't have $100,000 to invest in the property, however you want to invest, and you have a future, and you are very interested in owner financing, you take, you know, maybe a mortgage out for three quarters of the cost of the home, or a half of that amount. And that way you can still continue to rebuild your credit while having that mortgage. But you pay and put in a significant amount. You may have $50,000. You may want to get a mortgage for another $50,000. And you're only mortgaging $50,000, which is still, one, very affordable to you. You don't have the note to your home, but it goes to one of the options that we talked about in our last segment, which is rent to own. You know, it's still an option and a huge benefit to you. And within the next 15 years, you can even take out a 15-year loan with a mortgage company for $50,000. You can take out a 30-year loan and pay it back biweekly. There are so many options that you need to give yourself, and to not only you can only give it to yourself if you know them. So there are many ways that not only that soccer mom, but the moms, the soccer camp or organization you were talking about, the moms within the soccer camp can look within and invest to themselves. You know, Joe was also talking about earlier how, you know, we used to hear a few years ago, Joe, I don't remember how long ago it was, but, you know, how people were, what we heard was cliche in real estate, you know, buy your house. Like Joe had had a good analogy about using your house like an ATM, because what is it that you said earlier, Joe?
Yeah, you know, not that long ago, people basically were looking at their house not as a way to invest in, but a way to take out of. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, they were telling people, hey, you know, buy this house. It's going to appreciate in value 5% over the next couple of years.
Yeah, they were throwing out numbers.
And then people were refinancing the houses and getting 110% of the value,
mm-hmm.
you know. So they were walking away with cash, but, you know, now we have the situation we're in now where they can't do anything with it. You know, they're stuck and have a hard time selling it, or, you know, all the foreclosures. And you know, the economy is in a state where basically everyone has to reexamine everything in their life.
That's right.
Because, you know, the job market isn't that stable right now. Inflation is ridiculous. You know, you really have to question every penny you're spending and say, you know, is this an asset to me or a liability? And
that's right.
The thing Sharon and I are talking about as far as buying real estate and, you know, with owner financing and all of these things, we're basically letting you know that this is unprecedented, you know,
mm-hmm.
to be able to buy a house for $10,000 or less or $20,000, you know, everyone who doesn't own a house should be saying, how can I get this? How can I get it now while the prices are where they are? And even those of us who own homes should be saying, how can I get a second or third one
right now? That's
because,
right.
you know, eventually the cycle we're in is going to change again. Things aren't going to be where they are now. And those of us who don't get real estate now, later on they're going to be kicking themselves going, man, I could have bought a house for $10,000. Now I can't get one for $100,000, you know. So that's the whole point of what we're saying,
mm-hmm.
is make a sacrifice today. You know, if it means, you know, you're not getting that bag or not getting those shoes, don't get it. Don't get the shoes. You know, find a way to come up with the money. So we're saying do fundraisers, cut back, pay attention to where your money's going at the supermarket, you know, wherever. Figure it out. Team up with people, even if it's families. Families need to sit around and say, how can we do this?
Mm-hmm.
And just find a way to take advantage. You know, instead of running away from real estate, everyone should be looking at it and going, wow. I mean, just look in your own neighborhood and look at the prices.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and if you don't own a home, think about how much you're paying in rent. We just said you could buy a house for $10,000. I'm sure just about everyone listening to this pays more than that a year in rent.
Mm-hmm.
So when you put it in that perspective to say, how can I come up with the $10,000 to buy a house? You're coming up with it to pay your landlord.
That's right.
You know, so you need to figure out how to be that landlord. Yeah, how to be the landlord and how to invest back into yourself. Instead of giving everybody else your money.
Correct.
Good point. I really like that that point of investing in yourself, because we do invest in ourselves, just like you said. And you know, when we go out and we shop, we invest in ourselves. We buy
mm-hmm.
those shoes because those shoes are going to make us look good.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the exterior. However.
Mm-hmm.
That house would make you feel good and look good as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have to change our mindset. We have to change the way that we think about things and the way we look at things. And there are several different scenarios across the country that we can look at and see, because most inner cities right now are going through some kind of change because of the simple fact that inner cities, they're easy to get to. The commuting is not as long as when you live like in the suburbs and stuff. So a lot of people are moving back into the cities and they're looking at the options available to them as far as real estate is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in most cases they left the city because the cities were getting a little bit too dangerous or crime ridden, or they just wanted to go out and get peace and quiet. Now things are turning and people are coming back. You really have to look in your neighborhoods and see, and just watch some of the trends. Don't watch too long because you get left out.
Exactly.
That's true, Aurelia.
Yeah, and watch and see what the trends are, because there's simple things that will tell you if your neighborhood is going through a change or not. Are they fixing the streets? When a street light is out, how long does that street light stay out? Does it stay out for weeks or a month, or is it fixed right away?
Get involved in your neighborhood. There's a lot of groups within even inner cities. Civic associations. Get involved. I mean, become a part of the community, because that is, again, another reason why we're so unstable in this overall economy. You know, you always have, you know, agents are just not people that are here to list and sell homes. I mean, we are a resource, you know, and we like to be a resource to the community. And, you know, get it, ask. You don't know anything unless you ask.
That is
so
true.
You know, just get involved. Get involved and kind of turn the mirror back around to you. What are you doing and what are you not doing? Where is your money going? Like Joe talked about, people who, you know, got caught up in the scheme of go on and buy now and get 5%, make 5% more money and take out all of this money after your house appreciates this much. You know, what do people do with that money? Because we're selling them. You know, what is going on? Where are people? What are you doing with your money? What are you doing? You know, get involved and get informed. Use your resources that are all around you. I mean, there are so many of them. There are so many options. Just know them.
Yes, and, you know, coming from the consumer perspective and coming from a place like New York City, and Joe, I'm sure you can attest to what I'm saying, New York City in 1970 was like a ghost town in some areas.
Right.
You had brownstones that were abandoned and in certain areas, and now, forget it, can't touch that.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you go to Harlem now, you'd be amazed.
Yes.
You know, at one time people ran from there, and now it's like, wow. You know, see people walking their poodles down the street.
Yes, and the same thing is happening in your neighborhoods as well. I mean, throughout the country, this is happening. And it's not like it is we're drawing up hypothetical, because these are true and these are actual, these are factual. These things are happening in a lot of communities, and if we just open our eyes wide enough and be willing to step out in faith and make that decision that, you know, I want to be a part of the changes and I don't want to miss out, then we can do something. And that's why we have these two wonderful professionals here with us this evening to help us be a part of change, be a part of growth and development. And, you know, I thank them immensely, tremendously for what they're doing and stuff. So, and I would like them to give information as to where they can be contacted, so that if you have additional questions and you want to know more information, you can reach out to them. So I'll start off with you, Sharon. How can people reach you if they need to contact you?
Well, first, I just encourage everyone to follow Joe and I. We are Healthy Real Estate. You know, we are Healthy Real Estate and Associates. You can follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter name is H as in Healthy, L-T, H as in Healthy, Y, Real Estate. So, again, it's H-L-T-H-Y, Real Estate. And you can contact Joe on Facebook at Joe Bellardo. My Facebook name is Sharon Homer. You can also follow us under Concord Realty Group. And my telephone number is 302-540-9626. And my email address is sharon@hreassociates.com.
And Joe?
Yeah, and my email address is averagejoe720@msn.com. You can reach me by phone at 302-438-5453. And as Sharon pointed out, Joe Bellardo on Facebook. You can inbox me a question or anything, you know, just call. We talk. I love real estate, so I could talk for days about it. So if you just want to call ask me about real estate, you know, we can talk. So anytime. And then you have a page, right, Coco Express page,
yes,
on Facebook. Come on there and post the question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I see it, I'll definitely answer it.
Yes, most definitely. And, you know, we want to hear your questions because we want to be able to help you help yourself. And by posting a question, you can answer the question, and you never know. You never know what the possibilities are. That's what it's all about, the possibilities. And there's so many of them out there. As Joe and Sharon said, it is open to you, and it's infinite. It's not like you have a definitive anything when it comes to real estate. It is infinite, and you have the opportunity, and it's staring dead in your face right now. So what you gonna do? Okay, so it's all up to you right now. Is there anything that you would like to say before we close, because we have a few more minutes?
I just want to thank everybody for the time. Thank you for taking the time to listen. And pretty much, if you listen to the show and listen to the entire show, you have given yourself some options. Hopefully you will pose whatever questions you have and get more information. I just thank you for getting informed and getting involved, because this is the first step. Thank you for your 45 minutes or however, 35 minutes, 40 minutes. Thank you for your time.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would just like to say, reiterate, thank you. And I hope everyone does follow up with us, you know, call, you know, talk. Because I really do see, you know, that there's definitely a shift in the economy, a shift in the direction of society. And I want everyone to move forward in a positive direction. And as things are changing, I want everyone to come out on top. And you have the chance now. No matter how bad you think your situation is, as this cycle is changing over, you actually are in a position to put yourself ahead again. So if you don't know how to do it, just call and ask.
Okay, great. I really appreciate that. And the next segment, we're going to go into more detail about the owner financing again, or we're gonna have a different topic?
What we would like to do is really open the floor to questions and kind of open up with any questions that the listeners have.
Okay.
And we will take it from there.
Okay, great, great. So you'll be joining us, you both will be joining us again on June the 16th.
Okay.
So the next show we'll have together will be June 16th. So if there are any questions out there, please get them to us before that time so that we'd be able to answer them completely and thoroughly. So with that in mind, I would like to thank all my listeners for their continued support. And as I stated to you last Saturday, that we are really trying to help you live better and be better. So it's all about making your life better any way that we can. With that in mind, I'm going to close the show, and I want to thank everyone and have a wonderful evening. Goodbye.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.